May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Encounters with Jesus. Jesus prays for us from our gospel lesson for today. Happy Mother's Day. Someone made a list of seven things that a mother would never say. See if your mom would ever say these things. I'm going to reverse order from the not so bad to the worst. The way I saw it, anyway. Number seven, don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Number six, I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. Would your mom ever say that? Number five, the curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Number four, well, if Timmy's mom said it is okay, that's good enough for me. Sure, go. This third one really gets me. I don't think any mother would have ever said this. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed it and walk him every day. Number two, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. And the number one thing that probably no mother has ever said to their children. Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. Mothers make many sacrifices, and we are grateful to them. As someone has said, the hand that rocks the cradle is usually attached to someone who isn't getting enough sleep. Amen. Our scripture today tells us something very exciting and should cause you a great deal of joy. Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays for us. Scottish preacher Robert McShane put it this way: if I could hear Christ praying for me in the room next door, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He's praying for me. In theologian language, what we have here in our gospel lesson, it's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It took place in the upper room where Jesus initiated the Lord's Supper the day before he was to be crucified to die. This is incredibly good news in the fact that Jesus is praying for us, because he's doing it even now. He's praying for you. In the book of Hebrews, the Word of God describes what action Jesus is taking on our behalf. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, not only is Jesus praying for us, he knows how to pray for us. He knows what we need. And that's a good thing. In this magnificent prayer of Jesus, there are at least three requests that Jesus is making to the Father on our behalf. There are three themes to this great prayer. The first request that Jesus offers is that there may be unity among the followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Right from the start in the church, there were divisions, there were false teachers, there was competition and damage done by proud people promoting their traditions over the truth and the unity that the Father has always wanted. What Jesus prays for and the vision for how the church ought to be is seen, I think, in this example of a card that a lady carried with her in her purse for years and years and years. It was a portrait of Jesus. I carry a portrait of Jesus, too, in my wallet. But hers was kind of different. She must have carried it for years because it was all crumpled up a little bit and faded. But if you looked at it, it was just a simple picture of Jesus, if you looked at it in a normal way, like this. But if you brought it close to you, what you saw was 48 different faces that made up the picture of Jesus. And the faces of the people were young and old, middle-aged, and where I'm at. And there were black and white, there were brown and yellow, and there were people with all kinds of expressions. And for me, this is the church. It's made up of all kinds of different people who have this in common. They proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This kind of unity starts right here with you and me at Grace in our church. You need to love each other as a church family. Sometimes we really need that command of Jesus because there's some people that we find daunting to love. But he commands us to love one another. And that means you have to show up. It means you have to get to know each other. You can't isolate yourself. If you do, you will break Jesus' heart. If you aren't here on a regular basis, you're breaking the unity that Jesus prays for and wants us to have. Resolve today that you will answer the prayer of Jesus for unity starting right here. But it goes beyond our church. Of course, we must be distinct and separate from those who declare themselves to be Christians, but rip the Bible apart and pervert its teachings and the teachings of our Lord Jesus. We must be distinct from that. Nevertheless, Christians and churches have found it easier to fly apart rather than to come together. We've liked our own organizations, our denominations, and our own traditions, and we have attacked fellow Christians. And really, this is not pleasing to the Lord. Frankly, I like the stance of ordinary Christians who stand in unity with people of different denominations when their ecclesiastical leaders, denominational leaders, refuse to do the same. I count Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, there's others, pastors, as dear friends. I do. And I'm sure you do. I'm sure you have people who have different Christian backgrounds who you believe to be good friends of yours, true friends. I love these other pastors as much as I love my fellow Lutheran pastors. Despite our differences, I recognize that we're all in it for the cause of Christ. When I hear people coming to Christ in other Lutheran churches and in non-Lutheran churches, Orthodox churches, I rejoice. We have new brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't you do that with me? Okay, yes. Somebody say yes. Yes, yes, thank you. A second request that Jesus has is that we be where he is and see his glory. Now, I hope you did better than the early service. Where is Jesus right now? Well, he's here, okay, but where does the Bible say he is? the right-hand side. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. And what is his request? That we may be where he is. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Skipping a little few lines, "And I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." I like that. I hope my room's really big. Bigger than yours, right? No. I'm breaking the unity here. Jesus wants everyone to believe in him. Jesus wants you to believe in him and what he's done for you. He wants you to be in heaven, where every tear is wiped away and where there is eternal joy. This is the destiny he prays for each of us. I love this story. St. Peter is busy in heaven, so he leaves a sign by the pearly gates. "For service, ring the bell." Ding. I should have had a bell with me. Ding. Away he goes. He barely gets started when, bing, the bell rings. He goes to the gate. No one's there. He goes back to work when suddenly, bing, the bell goes off. He rushes back to the gates. Again, no one's there. A little annoyed, Peter goes back to work. Suddenly, bing, the bell rings again. St. Peter rushes over. Again, no one's there. "Okay, that's it," said St. Peter. "I'm going to hide and watch to see who's ringing the bell." So St. Peter hides. And a moment later, a little old man walks up and hits the bell. Bing! Peter jumps out and says, "Aha! You're the guy who keeps ringing the bell and then running away." "Yes, that's me," the little old man says. "Well, why do you keep ringing the bell and running away?" St. Peter asks. The man replies, "They keep resuscitating me." "Well, don't do that to me." And I think a lot of us can say, you know, when we come to the end of the life, it's not a bad deal waiting for us. Don't do whatever you have to do to save my life. Let me go. "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me." And that's heaven. Because we're heaven bound, we can live life differently than those without faith. The secular author Eugene O'Neill wrote a play called Lazarus Laughed. Maybe you heard of it. Lazarus was, of course, the man that Jesus raised from the dead. Well, in the play, and you know, if this really happened, if we were living in the time of Lazarus, we would do the same thing. People were asking Lazarus, "What's it like to die? And what's on the other side?" Well, he tells them, believers, that there is no death, really, only life. There is God. And then Lazarus would always, as he's telling people this, laugh. "Ha ha, there's God." Something has changed in Lazarus's life. He's no longer that anxious and fearful person that he once was. His house becomes known as the House of Laughter. And this is because night after night, people who go by hear him singing and laughing. And this has an effect on the whole community, the whole village. people's work and attitudes change. A joy settles over the village. Someone has come back from the dead with incredibly good news. Jesus prays that you and I will see the culmination, the glory that He has won for each of us. He prays for our unity. He prays that we will see His glory in heaven. And finally, Jesus prays, third request, that the love that the Father has given Jesus will be in us. That He will be in us and we will be in Him. It's a prayer we see throughout the New Testament, that we would be in Christ, quote. This is all about our witness to the world. And the world stands for human society that has organized themselves without God and without God's love. To be in Christ is a term that the New Testament, and particularly Paul, uses 164 times. It means that when we witness, when we minister, Jesus is witnessing and ministering to people. Think about this. The people we forgive, Jesus forgives. The people we help, Jesus helps. And the people we pray for, Jesus prays for. That's what it means to be in Christ. We're in Him, He's in us. When we extend mercy to the broken, we are reaching out with the hands of Jesus Christ Himself. Do you see why this is a magnificent prayer? Do you see how incredibly good thing that it is that Jesus is praying for us? That He's praying that we might have love and unity among ourselves. That we may be on that pathway that leads to heaven, and that we may have all the love that He had from the Father, that it may be in us. May each of us be the answer to Jesus' prayer. In His name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.